Let me be the first to say to you, confirmands, welcome to the Missio Dei. They're looking at me like, what are you talking about? I'm glad you guys actually said what. That helped sell it. Good. Well, we're talking about mission this morning, and you guys just heard me say the term Missio Dei because that is the Latin term for mission of God, okay? The word mission actually has Latin roots, so let me give a little bit of an etymology lesson here. Sorry, I'm a nerd. Missio, the Latin means the act of sending or dispatching, a release. And so it means to send for a purpose. That's why when we talk about mission today, even in secular settings, we're talking about sending somebody, right? So how many of you guys have paid attention to some of NASA's missions over the last 50 years? What are they usually doing on one of their missions? Sending something or somebody off this planet, right, into outer space. And so there's a mission. They're sending with a purpose, usually to learn or to gather information or just to see if they can do it. And then we also hear oftentimes of the president sending ambassadors on a mission to another country for the purposes of bringing peace or something like that, right? And then they're sending off somebody somewhere else. So the word missio literally just means sent. The reason why this is important is because it's a translation of a Greek word. Yeah, I'm getting nerdier. apostolane. Apostolane is something you probably recognize. What does it sound like? Apostle. Apostolane meant in the Greek to send away, to send forth. It comes from two different words. It's a contraction of two words. It literally means to send away from here. And so in the Greek, when they called these men apostles, or even there's a woman who's named an apostle in the New Testament, and so there was women apostles as well, it meant that they were specifically sent by God to do something. So we usually refer to the apostles being the ones whom Jesus specifically commissioned to go and do the work. Now, in the Nicene Creed, a creed that our church holds and that we regularly say, we say one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. Now, when we say that, I don't think that we are meaning just that it refers back to the teaching of the apostles, that we are connected to the teaching of the apostles. What I think it also means is that we have joined into the mission that the apostles were given, that we are an extension and a part of that mission. In fact, we are a part of the Missio Dei, the mission of God. Now, let me make a little bit of a theological argument, because we're going to talk this morning about being restored to mission. And we've been doing this series throughout all of the Easter season about how Jesus in his resurrection restores us humans to how we were intended to be before the fall. And so what does it mean that we are restored to mission? Because it seems like that would be something that would be an outworking only of Jesus' work, and it wouldn't be something that would be natural to human nature. But let's look at this little image right here. How many of you recognize this, confirmands? Good job. Awesome. I taught them well. And so did you guys as well. How many of you out in the congregation recognize this from a sermon I preached about a year and a half ago, okay? Or maybe you went through confirmation with me before. This is an image that has been around for a very long time in a church that explains the Trinity, okay? Now, the Trinity is a very complex topic. If you want to know more about that, go look back in our sermon archives and find my sermon on the Trinity from the fall of 2016 or something like that. And listen to that sermon, and you'll hopefully have a little bit better of an understanding. But what I want to point out in this is notice that three persons within the one Godhead, that there are always ascending or being sent action happening here. So notice that two of the members of the Trinity, the Son and the Holy Spirit, are both sent, right, into the world to do something. Jesus Christ was sent into the world to save us from our sins. The Holy Spirit was sent to indwell us believers that we might be the people of God here on earth and we might be following his will. And there's the Father who is the one sending. So what this tells us is that within the very nature of God, there is a missional aspect. There is a missional ideal. God himself is sending and sent into the world to accomplish his mission. In fact, the original term, Missio Dei, that was used by the Western Church, was referring to the Trinity and referring specifically to the action of God saving humankind within the three persons of the Trinity. So Missio Dei, when we talk about it as being something we as the church are a part of, it means that we are beginning to live out the very essence and nature which we were created to be in Genesis 1. Because in Genesis 1, we see God create humanity, and he says what? He says, let us create humans, man and woman, in our image. Okay, this is God speaking to himself and saying, let us give something of ourself to this creation so that they would be a reflection of who I am in the created order. And so humans are supposed to be a reflection of God's nature amongst his creation. So knowing that God is missional in nature means that we as human beings are what? That wasn't a rhetorical question. Give me an answer. Missional, thank you. It was baby fed to you too on a spoon. Come on. We, by nature, as humans, are missional. There's a part of our nature that is being sent and sending as being part of God's created order. We are reflections of God in this world. And so we are missional by nature. So when I say restored to mission, I mean it. That when we in Jesus Christ are restored to mission, restored to being his sent ones in this earth, it is something that we are supposed to have been before the fall and we lost, and Jesus regains for us in his sentness, and he reclaims it for us, and he sends us out. And we see this even in Genesis chapter 2. Adam is sent into the garden. He's created, and then he's placed in the garden, and he's given a task, right? Name all the animals. So right from the beginning, you see that missional nature coming out right inside of the Garden of Eden, and that Adam was sent into the garden and given a mission. So what is the mission that Jesus gives in these passages that we are talking about today from Acts, when he restores us to mission? The first thing that I think we see is that he calls us to be witnesses. He calls us to be witnesses. He says, and you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. He's not just talking about the 12 disciples that he's sitting and talking with right there. He's talking about all Christians across all time, and he gives a commission to these 12 as an example as to how all Christians are to act for the rest of the time that the church exists. We are his witnesses. Now, this term witnesses, again, I'm a nerd, is martus in the Greek. And it means a witness in a legal sense, so you can look at it kind of as like a witness sitting on, in a courtroom or whatever. Or it can mean a witness in terms of somebody who saw some action happening, right? But the term began to become to mean a shorthand for somebody who dies in order to witness to a truth, right? And we get that term in martyr. Martyr is the term we often use. That they died, they were so convicted in the truth that they were witnessing about, they were willing to lose their lives for it. And in fact, their very losing of their lives becomes a further witness for the truth that they were willing to lose their life for. And so their witness is a part of their martyrdom, and that's why the term became kind of synonymous there between them. Now, I'm going to do a little plug. I have a class starting this Wednesday that's dealing with this exact issue. We're going to go through for the next 4 Wednesdays. You can either come at 2 o'clock, 2 p.m., or you can come at 7 p.m., but we're going to be looking at the idea of knowing your story, or really God's story lived within your life, and being able to share your story with others. How do we do that? First, you really got to know how God has moved and lived and acted with you throughout your life. And then you have to put yourself in relationship with other people who need that good news. They need that witness of God's goodness in your life, in their life. And then when the opportunity arises, you need to have the right language that will connect to their experience and share your story with them. So we're going to do a ton of practical, very just exercises and stuff, just very practical things over the next 4 weeks to learn how do we do that as Christians. How do we be God's witnesses in this world? We've tended to think as a church that, oh, Billy, hey, Billy and Kate, this is your job. You guys are missionaries, not us, right? Yes? Yes? No. Billy's shaking his head no. Billy and Kate are sent by us to another place, and so we commission them as missionaries to go and serve on our behalf somewhere else. But it doesn't negate the fact that you, by very nature of being a Christian, are a missionary, that you yourself are sent. And so where are you sent? What are you sent to do? Well, you're sent into your very community that's right around you, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. The second thing I think that we see is that Jesus fills us to be able to do the task. In Acts 1, you see, but you will see power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. In Acts 2, 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to preach. So listen to this. You have been given everything you need in order to accomplish the mission God has given to you. If you're sitting there thinking, well, but God hasn't called me to be a missionary because I don't have the skills or gifts to talk with people, or I don't blah, 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 blah. Whatever it is, the excuses that you might think of in your mind, they're all completely void when you're talking about the mission of Jesus Christ. Because look at this first group of believers. These guys were not, these women and men were not educated. They weren't people who were highly esteemed by the culture around them. And yet, because they surrendered themselves and waited for the Holy Spirit to come on them, they were able to change the entire trajectory of the world with the message that they carried about Jesus Christ. And God gave to them exactly what they needed. They were in this space where they were worshiping on a Jewish holiday, Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover. And as they were worshiping, God sends on them the Holy Spirit, and they begin to speak out loud and preach and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Yet it wasn't in their language. It wasn't even in a language that they understood, but it was in the languages of all the visitors, the Jews who had come from all the lands around the diaspora, all around the Mediterranean, and they had spoken different dialects, and they began to hear the gospel in their own language. This is a sign to us. Now, this might not happen to you. You might not go and speak in tongues, but I guarantee you that whatever circumstance you find yourself in, where God is calling you or sending you to be the messenger to someone, he will give you everything you need in order to share that good news with the person. Even if it means bringing up facts and knowledge that you didn't even knew you know. God will provide for you everything you need in that. We see this happen throughout the whole book of Acts. And we see that the early Christians have such a reliance on the Holy Spirit that in a couple of chapters, we'll see Philip, one of the disciples, being drawn along by the Holy Spirit to a weird little chariot with an Ethiopian eunuch sitting and reading a scroll of Isaiah. And Philip will then come alongside him and ask him, what are you reading? And he'll have the opportunity to explain and open up that chapter of Isaiah and reveal who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus did. And then Philip is just taken away as soon as this eunuch becomes a Christian and submits himself to Jesus Christ. Philip just disappears and he goes off somewhere else as soon as he has him baptized. And then we see even later, Paul, and one of his missionary journeys, he has a plan. He's going to go into Asia Minor. He's going to preach the gospel. And yet God keeps blocking his way. For some reason, he can't get into Asia. And instead, he has a vision. He has a dream. And it's a person from Macedonia who's saying, come over here. And it's the Holy Spirit leading Paul to go and to preach in Macedonia. If you are going to be a missionary for Christ, you have to learn the ways of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's language. You have to learn how to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's movement in your life. I'll tell you this, I've been in public settings multiple times where I have just felt an overwhelming call to talk to someone that I see that I have no idea who they are. And I'll usually just walk up and say, hi, you know, what's going on? And they'll pour their life out to me, and they're having this horrible time, and they need the good news right there, and I'm able to share the gospel with them because I was willing to listen, and I was open to go wherever they would go. And God filled me with whatever I needed in that moment to be the minister they needed to hear words of encouragement and good news from Jesus Christ. That leads us, the last thing, to the ends of the earth in Acts 1:8, in Jerusalem, and all, he says, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Acts 2:5, now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven. Listen to that. Listen, God said you're going to be the witnesses to the ends of the earth, and then he said, you don't even have to go anywhere. I'm going to bring them all to you. He says, I'm going to bring them right to your doorstep. But this is what we're called to be. We're called to be people who are willing to go beyond our comfort zones. But we're called mostly to be people who, right in our comfort zones, are still sent. We are still missionaries right where we're at, right in Jerusalem, right in Judea, right in Samaria, places that the Jews were comfortable, and then to the ends of the earth. So you don't have to go anywhere to be a missionary for Jesus. You, being in your family, are a missionary to Jesus. Being in your neighborhood, you are a missionary to Jesus. Being in your workplace or school, you are a missionary to Jesus. God may call you somewhere outside of that, and you should be open and willing to go wherever he calls you. But part of that openness is being open right where you are to serve him here and now and be his missionary in the place that you are. This is what he's calling you to do. Now, remember, Jesus earlier in his ministry tells us who is our neighbor and who we are supposed to be loving towards, right? And he uses this illustration of the Good Samaritan, somebody that the Jews would have never respected, and yet it was the Samaritan who stopped on the road and helped this man who was in a helpless situation and provided for him. You, by being open to the Holy Spirit and being open to go wherever God might call you to go, which might be Second Mile in August, from August 12th to 17th, when we do our church-wide mission trip to Second Mile. But if you are being open to God calling you to serve him anywhere, I trust me, you won't have to go far before you recognize someone in your life who needs you to be a good Samaritan to them, to love them, to provide for them healing and forgiveness and good news. If we do this, if we are Christians who are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and if we are people who are God's witnesses in the world, following his leading and being filled with his Holy Spirit to be enabled and given the gifts we need to share his good news, and we are willing to go all to the ends of the earth if he calls us, I guarantee you that you will have an impact beyond what you can recognize in this life. People's lives will be changed because you were willing to be God's hands and feet sharing the good news in this earth.